Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Samach Zayin. We will begin on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis with the question with four lines from the bottom. In the previous shir, we had learned that Rabbi Yosef had taught us that Shina Hashem, if something has a new name, that's the way that we have a kinyan. That's the way the ganef becomes the owner of that object. Ask the Gemara, v'rei mereish, when we speak about a beam, dikashin Hashem, then when we put a beam into a building, if we think about it, there's a shino Hashem here. The mikara kishura, at the beginning, it's called a beam. The hashta, and after it's put onto a building, it becomes tlala, becomes part of the ceiling, becomes part of the roof. And Tanan, asked the Gemara, the Mishnah Masech, the Idyas Perek Zayin Mishnah Tes teaches us, the Chanunya ben Gudgoida teaches us, Alamareish Shagazel, if somebody stole a beam, Shabana Babira, and put it into his building, that the Loch is, that even though, as we keep on learning in our Shurim, the Torah Gdosh teaches us, the Heshif is Exegel, if somebody steals, he should return the stolen object, that the Loch is, if you put the beam into the building, that all you need to do is to pay back the value, because Chazal wanted to encourage people to do tshuva. And if somebody's going to steal a beam and then put it into the building, and in order to fulfill the Heshev as Gezela, what he's going to need to do is remove it and demolish his building, it'll be a deterrent from people doing tshuva. Because Chazal wanted to encourage people to do tshuva, they say just giving the value is going to be adequate. But says the Gemara, Tama, the reason why giving back just the value of the beam is enough, because as we just learned, because there's a special rule, Amnei Tekanas HaShavim. Chazal, as we said, wanted to encourage people to do tshuva. Halav Hachi, if not for that reason, Hada Be'enei, we would have to give back the actual beam. But certainly, a beam that was built into the building, as we just learned a moment ago, is a situation of Shinui Hashem. And if the halacha is that Shinui Hashem becomes the property of the ganef, isn't that, then? And then for everybody would agree that just giving back the value should be adequate. Why was there a need to make a special takanas shavim? So Tosfos says that we quoted Tosfos previously that even though Rabbi Yosef held that Shinui Hashem is with Yiyush is a way to become the property of the ganef, says we learned that when there's not a significant Shinui Hashem, you need Yiyush, where we spoke about that piece of leather. So maybe over here, there might have been a Shinui Hashem, but you need Yiyush. And there was no Yiyush. And that's why they had to make a Shinui, they had to make this Takanas HaShavim. So Tosfos says a very interesting Chiddush. Tosfos says that if there is an insignificant Shinui Hashem, like we spoke about, where you make a leather into a tablecloth, there Yiyush is required. But when we have a significant Shinui Hashem, the Gemara that we just discussed, putting a beam into the building, there you don't need to have Yiyush. And therefore the Gemara's question is very understandable. We have Shinui Hashem, a significant Shinui Hashem. Why was there a need for Takanas Shavim? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Mereish Shmaila. Even if you built the beam into your building, it's still called a beam. So that's why it's not considered a Shinui Hashem. How do we know this? The Tanya. The Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Chavav, where the Pasuk describes the image that Yecheskel Anavi saw about the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. And the Pasuk says, Tzalos Habayis, Elo HaMatlatatin. These are the moldings that are put around the walls and around the windows. Ve'uven, Ela Hamereshis. Those are the beams. So we see from this Pasuk, says the Gemara, that even after a beam is built into the building, it still has the same name, Meresh. So it could well be the Gemara saying that a Shinui Hashem is enough. Certainly, as Taisus just taught us, a significant Shinui Hashem. But a beam built into the building is not even considered a significant Shinui Hashem. Another answer, says the Gemara, Reb Zeir Amar, there's different types of Shinui Hashems. When you have a Shinui Hashem, a Chozel Reb Yosai, when you have a Shinui Hashem that is reversible, Loi have a Shinui. That's not called a Shinui Hashem. So if you put a beam into the building, and certainly that beam can be removed, so since the beam could be removed, it is a reversible Shinui Hashem, and a reversible Shinui Hashem, says the Gemara, is not considered a Shinui Hashem. It has to be a permanent Shinui Hashem. The Gemara on Daf Samach Zayin Amun Aleph, as we're going to learn, teaches us that if somebody takes produce that from which Truma has not been removed, Tevel, and then he calls a Truma, that is considered a Shinui Hashem. Now the question that the Gemara explains, because changing it from Tevel into Truma is considered a Shinui Hashem. As Taisus, making Tevel into Truma is certainly a reversible declaration. Because as the Gemara says, in Masechta Yevamos, in other places in Shas, if you designate produce as Truma, and then you go and it's really a form of a neder. And since it's a form of a neder, you can have a Shailas Chacham going to the Rav and be matted in neder, and then it's reversible. So ask Taisus, if we're saying that any reversible Shinui Hashem is not considered a Shinui Hashem, why is making Tevel into Truma considered a Shinui Hashem? So Taisus says, since it's Loi Shchiach, it's unusual and unlikely for a Rav to annul Truma designation, that's why it's not considered a reversible Shinui Hashem. The Rashi disagrees with Taisus. He says that any change which is Truma is always considered permanent. Taisus explains, the Rashi explains, that when Rav Zeir says that something that's reversible is not a Shinui Hashem, it's only something that the person who made the Shinui Hashem could reverse that Shinui Hashem. Let's think about our Gemara. Somebody took the beam, stole a beam, and put it into his house, so he could take that beam out of his house. If somebody made Tevel into Truma, yes, as we are learning, it is reversible. But it's not the person who made it into Truma that could reverse it. As we just explained, it would require going to a Rav and having the Rav make that reverse it. If it requires somebody else to do so, that's not called a reversible Shinui Hashem. The Gemara continues. Chazal, the Mishnah Masechta Mikvaos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph teaches us that if you have three lugim of mayim shuvim, three lugim of water, which is drawn water, which may not be used for a mikvah, and you have a pool of water that doesn't yet have a boim saw, 40 saw of kosher mikvah water, even though, and then three lugim of this water falls in, that becomes possible for a mikvah, even if you'll now add that you should have a total of 40 lugim of kosher mikvah water, says the Gemara. So based on that introduction, ask the Gemara, Shinui Hashem she'en chayz l'briyosai, if it's not reversible, me have a shinui, is it considered a shinui? Right, sinur. If we have a pipe, the mikara kitzitzta, the hashta tzinura, it starts off before you carve out the pipe, it's a piece of wood. And then when you carve it out, it becomes a pipe. The Tanya, and the Braisa teaches us, Tzina Shechokaku, if you have this piece of wood that you carved out for water to flow through it, Ulub Soif Kavoy, and then you attach it to the ground, the water that flows through that pipe, Paisalas HaMikvah, will be considered Mayim Shuvim. And as we just explained, if you'll have Shloish Lugim of that kind of water, it'll be Pasal. But Kavoy, if you first attach that piece of wood to the ground, and then Lipsoif Chakakoy, and then after this piece of wood was attached to the ground, you carved it out, then Ein HaPaisal HaMikvah. Because since it was connected to the ground before you made it into a pipe, which water that flows through a pipe becomes Mayim Sheuvim, but since it was attached to the ground first, it doesn't get the status of being a keli, or doesn't get the status of being a pipe. And therefore, the water that passes through it will not be considered Mayim Sheuvim to disqualify your mikvah. Ask the Gemara, the Amrit, if you're going to suggest Shinim Shem Milsehi, that if it changes status, it's significant, so why should it make a difference? Akfilu Kavoy Lipsoif Chakakoy, even if you first attach this piece of wood to the ground and then you carved it out to be a pipe, Nami Lipso, it should become disqualified. Because when you carved it out and made it into a pipe, it's something else. It's not the piece of wood that you started with. And we're saying that if it's not the piece of wood that you started with, then it's not the same. So why is it still considered part of the ground? Answers the Gemara, Shani Shiva de Madrabonami. Here we're discussing that the whole psul is only a psul Madrabonon. And since the psul is only Xeris Chachamim, that's why we could treat it more leniently. Says Ramosha, Ramosha Zatzal, in the Igros Moshe, Choshe Mishpat, Simon Lamed Hay asks a question. He doesn't understand how our Gemara, which is talking about Shinui Hashem, when you steal something and becoming yours, Kinyonim, has anything to do with Hilchas Makfos. So he explains that the halacha that we just learned about Hilchas Makfos is very much the same. Because what makes Mayim possible for a mikvah? That it's Mayim Shuvim. When is something considered Mayim Shuvim? When it went through a keli. So if it's called wood or it's called keli, very much a definition of Shinu Hashem is significant. So the Gemara said, Shani Shiva Midrabonim. Says, so there's a machloikis. What does the Gemara mean? One pshat is that this halacha that we just learned, that if you have three lugim of mayim shuvim in a mikveh, that even though you'll have 40 lugim of kosher mikveh water, if the 40 lugim of kosher mikveh water wasn't there first, that's an issa drabonim. Or does the Gemara mean that a mikveh is only possible medrabonim when the entire mikveh is mayim shuvim? So Rashi explains that this halacha that we said that once you have shloisha lugim before you had 40 saw, that is psul drabonim. But Rashi says if the entire mikveh is maim, if the entire mikveh is maim shuvim, that's a psul midaraisa. However, there are those, the Ri and other Rishonim, that say that even if you have an entire mikveh of maim shuvim, the psul will never be more than a psul midrabonim. So our Gemara becomes a very important issue in Hilchas Mikvahs. And that is the question, if when we speak about a mikvah, how do we look at a mikvah that was filled up with water that went through a pipe? The opinion of the Noida Behuda and the opinion of the Gra, where they wanted to build mikvahs, and the question was, can any water be put through a pipe to make into a mikveh, that they said that if the mikveh is water comes through a pipe, the mikveh is possible. It has to be water that didn't come through. If all the water in the mikveh came through a pipe, it's possible midaraisa. So now, asks many poskim, if that's the case, if you fashion a pool out of cement and you put the water into that pool, so why is that not considered that the water was put into a keli? And we're learning that if your water is in a keli, it becomes a posel mikveh. So I saw that many gedolei poskim, the Tzemach Tzedek in Yoredeis Simen Kuf Ayin Beis, the Marsham and Chelik Beis Simen Kuf Beis, says that you can't call a pool made out of cement a keli. He says the only time something could be considered a keli is that it can remain solid. If you're going to try to pick up this cement pool, what's going to happen is that the pool will disintegrate, then it wouldn't be a kosher, then it's not considered a keli. And in fact, that's why the poskim that suggest that if the mikveh was made with metal beams, so to speak, that will hold up this pool, then that pool will always be a posel mikveh. It's a very big machlokes. Gedolei HaPoskim, Rav Chaim Oizer was actually lenient with that type of a mikveh, and Rav Meir Shapiro was more machmer with that type of a mikveh. We also, when we speak about a mikveh, so of course, the first halacha that we speak about is for a mikveh is a mikveh that a woman who's a nida has to go to the mikveh, and what is a kosher mikveh and what is not a kosher mikveh. But we know that there are men that go to the mikveh because they had an emission, which the halacha does not absolutely require going to the mikveh. They go to the mikveh just for Tosfos Kedusha, that it will help them in the avodas Hashem. And there's a very big machloikas hapoiskim, if a mikveh made out of mayim she'uvim can be used under those circumstances. And there are many poskim who are of the opinion that if the mikveh is not, if it's not a situation where the person has to go to the mikveh because midaraisa, he's obligated to go to the mikveh, like we just identified a nida who has to go to the mikveh, then there are many poskim that suggest that such in such a situation they could rely on they could go to such a mikveh even though it's midaraisa not a kosher mikveh. I saw that the Svarim HaKadoshim, I saw a quote from the Chakal Yitzchak, the Spinker Rebbe, and there are many places that there's a mikveh, there's a minig, a custom, that in Shavuos, the Rav gives a drasha, gives a pilpul drasha. And the Chakal Yitzchak, who was the Spinker Rebbe, once in one of the drashas was saying a drasha about Hilchas Mikvahs. And in that drasha, where he's speaking about Hilchas Mikvahs, he quoted our Gemara. He says that what we learn from our Gemara is that there are two ways that we could approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is that we should first form ourselves, craft ourselves into Kalim to be able to accept the Dvar Hashem, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be cover La'aretz and bring us to Yisrael. Or the other option, which our Gemara just discussed, is first attaching a piece of wood to the ground, and after a piece of wood is attached to the ground, then you carve it. So we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't wait until first we're carved out into Kalim, that we're ready to accept the Dvar Hashem, and only after that attach us to Tetzisrol, bring us to Tetzisrol with Mashiach Tzidkenu b'meherib yameinu, but rather we ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first bring us to Tetzisrol,
even if we have not yet been carved out into a keli, just attach us to the ground of Eretz Yisrael. And after you attach us to the ground of Eretz Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will carve ourselves out to be kelim, to be the vessels to accept the Dvar Hashem. Ask the Gemara, if, as we just discussed, this pipe, if the Braisa speaks about a pipe that was first attached to the ground, and then it was carved out, so then ask the Brara, afilu d'resha, even in the case where it was carved out and attached to the ground, only after it was carved out, nami, we should also say it's good, because since it's attached to the ground, so now anything that's attached to the ground should have the halacha of karka. And since it has the halacha of karka, it shouldn't the water that passes through should not disqualify the mikveh. Answers the Gemara, Hosam, as we explained, ikataris kela b'atolish. Once it got the status of being a keli when it was detached, even if you attach it to the ground, it has no way of losing that status. Hacha, whereas in the case where it wasn't carved out into a keli before it was attached to the ground, ain't taris keli alav b'tolish, it never had the status of being a keli, and since it never had a status of being a keli, that's why if it's attached to the ground that way, it remains considered attached to the ground. We go back to the machlokes that we had between Rabbi and Rav Yosef regarding Yish, and if Yish is koina or not. And Rav Yosef's opinion was that Yish is not koina. Meisvei, asked the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, Haganef Agazlov Va'onos, somebody who took, we spoke about a chamson. A chamson is an individual who forces somebody to give up something that he owns, even though he pays him. The halacha is hegdeshin hegdesh. If the object that they received is the magdashit, it's considered a valid hegdesh, and the halacha is that object will be osbah no. And if somebody used that produce, let's say he stole for truma, the halacha is trumasa truma. It'll have the status of truma, Yisroel will not be allowed to eat it. Maisroison, if they were designated as Meiser, it will be considered Meiser. But what do we see from here? That since there was presumably Yish by the owner, once there's Yish by the owner, that's enough to make it mine. And once it's enough to make it mine, the halach is that all these activities would be valid. So how could you say, Rabbi Yosef asked the Gemara, that Yish is not koina? Answers the Gemara, Amri, Hosam ikashinu Hashem. Right? There's a Shinu Hashem. Why? The Mikara, it was Tevel, Vashta Truma. Hegdish, by Hegdish, it was a Chulin, Vashta Hegdish. When you have a situation of a something that changes its name in such a significant way, then the halacha is that's considered a valid kinyan. The Sefer Shas Tshuvas Dvar Yeshua, Chelik Gimel Simen Yud Zayin, says that the Sefer was written by Rabbi Yeshua Menachem Ehrenberg, quotes his Rebbe Ramei Arik, who quotes his Rebbe, the Kutner Rav, that goes back to the question that we discussed a few moments ago, that why is this considered a Shinu Hashem? Isn't it reversible by going to the Rav, and the Rav changes, and the Rav could undo my designation? So he says, as Taisa said, that the difference, as the Rashba said, the difference here is that it's not the person who stole it that could change it, you need to have the Rav. So based on this, he says that what happens if you have something that was cooked by a non-Jew in a way that it made it Bishul Akum. So the question is, can a Jew, if a Jew attempts to reverse that, will that be an effective way of reversing what was done? So he suggests that only if a Jew could reverse something that an Akum did, that's considered reversible. And since it's considered reversible, it could lose its title of Shinei Hashem. Says the Gemara, Amrav Chizda, Amrav Yonason.
How do we know that Shinu Maisa makes it the property of the Gazlan? Shnemar, because we speak about the parish of Gzela. The Torah Gdosh keeps on saying, and the question, of course, is why would the Torah have to say, it should just say, to teach us, if it's the way it was when you stole it, yachser, give it back the way it is. Vimlav, if it's no longer the way it was at the beginning, all you need to do is you don't have to give back the actual object. It's sufficient that you give its value. Ask the Gemara, but how could you say that that's what we learn from this pasuk? That if somebody's father stole, and now then the father swore falsely that he hadn't stolen it, and at the end he admitted. So as we learned that he has to bring a carbon asham and he gives back ten v'chayim shvarsam. That the halacha is that the ein mois v'chayim shagaz loviv. A son doesn't have to give back, doesn't have to give that chaymish. So that's all we need the pasuk for. How can we say it comes to teach us this din? Answers the Gemara, im kain, if the only halacha was to teach us that you don't have to give back a chaymish in something your father stole, nechtev rechman v'heshev ez gzeiloi. Why ashagozel lomali lamechtev? Why was it necessary to say ashagozel? Tells us the Gemara, shmami netarti, two halacha. One is the halacha by Gezel Aviv, and also to teach us the halacha that Shinu Kozel. So Rabbi Chanan asks, why would we think that Shona is not Koina? He says, because we would think that a Shinu has to be extremely significant. And therefore, anything which is not a significant Shinu, we would maybe think is not considered a Shinu. That's one explanation Rabbi Chanan gives. Another explanation Rabbi Chanan gives is that we know that when the Torah Kedosha says Ve'eshev Gzeila Shegozel, what the Torah means from us to be doing is fixing what we did wrong, and therefore we would think that even though there was a shinui, but since I have an obligation to fix the avera that I did. Included in that obligation to fix the avera that I did is to give it back no matter what. Teaches us the Torah that no. Vikadamri, Amar of Chizam Rav Yonason, Milayin Lashinu Sheena Koina, Shenemar, he learns Vaheshev as the Gzela Mikomakam. You always have to give back what you stole, even though it's not the same as it was when you stole it. Ask the Gemara, but doesn't the Pasuk say Vashagozel? Why shouldn't we learn, as we just did from the word Ashagozel, that only if it's in the same way as it was when I stole it? Answers, Gemara Humi Baile, it's necessary to teach, that pasuk is here to teach us, Agzela Shaloi, Maisav Chaimish, Ve Maisav Chaimish, Agzela Aviv, it's not available for that limud, it's not available for that limud. Amu Ula Menayin Liyinish Eina Koina, if, how do we know that if somebody stole something, and there was yish on the part of the owner, the gazlan does not become the owner of that property, of that animal, that, for example, that he stole, that he could bring it as a carbon. Shnema, the pasuk Malachi, Perik Aleph, Yud, Gimel, speaks there about the Kohanim that acted improperly and didn't treat the avoid in the base of Migdosh properly. And instead of bringing the best animals for carbon, the pasuk says, "What did they bring? Vaveisim gozel as a paseich v'secholah. Stolen items, animals that can't walk and they were sick." Says the Gemara, the pasuk is comparing gozel dumi the paseich, a stolen animal, to a animal that can't walk. Ma paseich the less like the kanta klal, it can never be repaired. It's a mum kavua. Af gozel we see from here, less like the kanta is not reversible. And what we learn from here is loishno lefnayish, loishno laachayish. It doesn't make a difference. It can never be used from mizbeach, even though there was yish. Ravava mahacha. Rava says we have a different source from where we can learn that yish doesn't help you be able to bring something for carbon. The pasuk says the beginning of parashas vayikra im Oila Kabonai. We learn from here Kabonai Veloy Hagozel. The only thing that can be brought for carbon is something that belongs to you and not something which was stolen. Amos. So ask the Gemara, let's understand this pasuk. Ilema lifnei yish. If we're going to say the pasuk is referring that there was no yish on the part of the owner, pshita. Of course it can't be brought. Lamali kra, it's not your animal. Elalav, it must be speaking that oachi yish. And even though there was yish, such an animal may not be brought as a carbon. Shmamina, from here we hear. See that yish loikana, shmamina. Says the Gemara, the Rava who the Amar, Rava is the one that taught us in our previous year, the gozel carbon, the chaveri, that somebody took an animal that somebody else was magdish, and the halacha is that that animal I can never use for my carbon. Doesn't that seemingly mean that if the animal that I stole was chulin, and there was yish, and I designated that animal as a carbon, it would be effective? Isn't that contradictory to what we're learning now? The Rava says that even after Yush, and even if the designation only took place after Yush, it's not, can't be brought as a carbon. So it says, indeed, Ibai say Mahodabe, Rava retracted what he said in our previous year, and now he's teaching that Yush is never effective when it comes to bringing a carbon. Ibai say Mechad Benayu, one of these two Gemaras, the Gemara is not able to identify who. It wasn't Rava that said it. It was Rav Papa's Talmud was that said it. And as Tosfos explains, Rav Papa used to say Divrei Halacha. And since Rava was his Rebbe, everybody assumed that what he was saying was in the name of Rebbe, of his Rebbe Rava. But it really wasn't something that his Rebbe Rava said. It was something that he himself said, and that was the reason for confusion. It's an interesting question that the Shas Tshuva Smichas Yitzchak, Chelek Hei, Simen Lamedala discusses that somebody earned money illegally. And the question is, and he has that money, does he have to give Maisa from it? So he says that in our Gemara set, we just learned, Hagazan v'Hagazan v'Anas Hagdeshin Hagdesh v'Trumasin Truman u'Masroisin Maser. So we see from here that even though that it was originally received by this person in a wrong fashion, and the person, as the Mechas Yitzchak says in that tshuva, has to do tshuva and has to do whatever is required to reverse that terrible avera, but that doesn't absolve them from the obligation of giving Maisik Sofim from it. We learned in the Mishnah, Midas Tashlum HaBar Chamisha only applies by Shavaseh Bilvad. But as the Gemara, as we've learned so many times in our Meshechta, V'mai, Nelev Shah Shah Mishabbos. Why don't we say that even though the Torah speaks about Abav Chamisha by Shor, but just like we learned that the Torah says Shor in the Saras Adibris by Shabbos, but we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara previously, it refers to all animals. Malahalan, as we've learned, Chayv Oif Dafnun Dalid, Chayv Oif Kiyotzeben, it applies to all animals. Why should we say here too that even though the Torah spoke about a shor, Afkan Chayv Oif Kiyotzeben? So I saw that the Rishonim ask that there's a rule throughout Shas, Ein Adam Dom Gzer Shava Ma'atzmai. A person cannot compose his own Gzeirah Shavah. So how does the Gemara suggest that we should just make up this Gzeirah Shavah and then say it applies to all animals? We can't make up our own Gzeirah Shavah. So the Rishonim answer, if the Gzeirah Shavah that is attempted to be learned is a Gzeirah Shavah that has no basis, and now I want to make up my own Gzeirah Shavah, the halacha is, ain't done Gzeirah Shavah Me'atzmai. You can't make up your own Gzeirah Shavah. But this is a Gzeirah Shavah that we've already learned in other applications. We just now want to expand it to this situation as well. That is not considered making up your own Gzeirah Shavah. And since that it's not considered making up your own Gzeirah Shavah, that's why the Gemara asks, why don't we learn such a Gzeirah Shavah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Amar Kra, Shava Sa, Shtei Pamim. The Torah writes Shava Sa twice to learn Shava Sa in, that this halacha only applies by Shava Sa, and Midachrin Eloi, not by any animal. So the Gemara says that the Torah said Shava Sa twice, just to read the Pesukim. The Pasuk says, Ki Yignif is Shava Sa, and then there's a Pasuk that says, Chamisha Baka Yisham Taksa Shor, V'Abet Soin Taksa Sa. Ask the Gemara Amri, so as we learned what Rava just said, the question is, Haim Yater, which Shor V'Seh are superfluous? Ilaim is Shor V'Seh, the Sefer, the second time the Torah says Shor V'Seh, Miyata are superfluous. Because we suggest, the Nechta Rechmona, the Torah should have said, Kignav ish, Kignav, Shor V'Seh, the Tavcha Yomachroi, Chamisha Bak Yishan Tachtav, Abetzoyin Tachtav. And why did you say, why was it necessary to say Shor V'Seh again? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Because Ikos Rechmona Hachi, if the Torah would have written, as we just suggested, Havamina Boi Tishlumei, we would say that Chamisha and Arba are to be combined. And Boi Shlumei, Tisha, Ulkov Chad V'Chad. You have to pay a total of 9, 5 plus 4. So that's what the Torah had to say, the 5 and 4 kept separate. Says the Gemara V'chitema, and if you say that there's no way we would have made such an error, because the Ksiv, the Torah says, Tachtov, Tachtov, Pamayim, the Torah says the word Tachtov twice to separate the 5 from the 4, we could say, Ha Tachtov Miyatar, one Tachtov is indeed extra, Hahu, I'm going to say, we didn't have to say it twice, but we needed to teach us a different halacha. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Yochel Ganav Shor Shavimana. If somebody stole a shor that's worth $100, Shishalim Tachtav Negidim, you could pay back even weak and very poor animals. Tamaloyim Tachtav. The Torah says that the animal that you pay back has to be an animal that's similar to the animal that you stole. And it can't just be some weak animal. Elo, says the Gemara, going back, we said Shor V'Seh are superfluous to teach us that this halacha applies to Shor V'Seh only, so suggest the Gemara, Shor V'Seh Dereshim Yuta. The first time the Torah says Shor V'Seh are extra. The Nechta Rechmona, the Gemara is suggesting, it should have been enough that the Torah says, Kigen V'ish Tavcha Yomachre, Chamisha Bak Yisham Taksa Shor, V'Abet Soin Taksa Seh. Why was it necessary to say Shor V'Seh at the beginning? Answers the Gemara, Ikas Rechmona Hachi, but if that's the way the Torah would have expressed itself, Havamina, we would have made the mistake, Ad the Ganav Trei, only if you stole two animals, the Tavachlu, and slaughter both of them. How do we know that if you did one alone? Says the Gemara, V'tavchik siv, l'chad, v'ema. Says the Gemara, that wouldn't be enough of a raya, because we would say, Ad the God of Tavayu, maybe what the Torah means, that you stole both of them, u'mazman l'hu, and you sold both animals. Says the Gemara, machrik siv, l'chad, v'ema havamina. Maybe what the pasuk would mean, if it didn't say both shavaseh, that you have to, the God of Trei, you stole two animals, the Tavachad, and you slaughtered one, or Mazmanchad, Oy Machrik Siv. But that you can't say because the Torah says Oy Machra, not you have to do slaughtering and selling. The Kati says the Gemara, no. If the Torah would have written it the way you wanted to say, have been Adagova Tava, you stole both, the Tavachad, and you slaughtered one, or Meshavachad, or Mazmanchad, and you left one over, or you sold it, or Mazmanchad, or Meshayachad. We would think that the Torah says the halacha, if you stole one, that the Torah is teaching us that that's only time that you chayiv. Ella, says the Gemara Shor the Sefer, the Torah is saying Shor a second time, the Seh the first time, Amiyata. The Nechter Chmana, the Gemara is suggesting that it would have been adequate that the Torah should say, Ki Yignav is Shor, Tavchay Makroy, Chamisha Bok Yisham Tachtov, V'Abet Tzoyin Tachas Aser. Shor, the Sefer, the fact that the Torah repeats Shor, and said, the Torah says said, the beginning, Lamali, Shmamina to teach us, Shor V'Seh in, that this halacha only applies by Shor V'Seh, Midach Rinaloi. We learned in the Mishnah, Ain a ganef acha. A ganef, that the halacha is that somebody who steals from somebody who stole, the halacha is you don't have to pay kefil. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, loy shana. When was that said? Elfnei yiyush. Before the owner, the original owner was miyash. Avaliyach yiyush. If yiyush took place, so then konei ganef rishon, the first ganef becomes the owner of this object. And now, when somebody steals from him, the ganef shayni, b'sham tashumi kefil ganef rishon, he would have to pay kefil. Amar Rav Sheshes, to which Rav Sheshes questions, the kinayim v'shachar Rav Amalham Shmatza. He must have been half asleep when he said this. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Amar Rav Akiva, Neima Amar Taira, V'tava Machar, V'shalim, Teshlum Arba V'chamisha. Why is it somebody did this, as he chayv Arba V'chamisha? Nei Shishtarish B'chait. This person did, has been accustomed to Aveira. He stole, and then he did the Tvicho Mechira. That's why he deserves to be punished. Now, let's analyze this. Amos, if Amos Lufnei Yish, that everything we're speaking about took place before Yish, Meikin Ishtarish Bechait, if the owners have not been Miyash, so then his Mechira wasn't a Mechira, because you can't sell something you don't own. Ella, it means lachi yish. Visa kedatach. If we're going to say yish koni, that when as soon as there's yish, it becomes the ganef's property. Why, if he sold it or slaughtered after yish, shloi tovik, shloi meicher. If it becomes his, so he's not should not be chayv dal v'chamisha. Amri says the Gemara. The way to understand the halach of dal v'chait, dal v'hei, ibn shishon v'chait. Even though it becomes his, the reality is that he keeps on doing something that's wrong. He steals, and then he does tficha mechira. So the issue is not that it become his. It could very well be that it is his, but the reason. And therefore, if Tficha Mechira happened after Yush, he wouldn't be Chayiv. Why is he Chayiv before? Because he keeps, even though what he's doing is really not halachically effective, because of his before Yush, selling something before Yush means you sold something which is not yours. And if you sold something that's not yours, obviously it's not a valid Mechira, but it still was something that you shouldn't have done. And that's why you're punished. But it's all before Yish. But right now the Gemara is learning that if the Tvich or Mechira took place after Yish, the halacha would actually be that you're not chai for the Tvich or Mechira, because the Gemara keeps on saying, Shalayu Tuveach, Shalayu Meicher.